Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Thank you.
Next!
Okay. First things first, your exes should be blocked.
You know, acknowledging the good things and moving on.
We're not about bad vibes here.
Are you relationship experts?
No.
My pants were wet.
It ain't even about BDE anymore. It's about thank you, next energy, yeah?
Okay, before we start this podcast, we need to address something that we can't come back without addressing the elephant in the room.
Let's take it to Red Table Talk, y'all.
That's the place where it would go.
Meet me at a spot.
Caught a vibe.
Baby, are you coming for the ride? I just want to stare into your eyes.
Got a vibe.
Why isn't Chabuddy remixing that? That's what Chabuddy should be remixing. I got a vibe. Aldona, are you coming for the ride?
I just want to stare into European eyes.
Your European eyes, your Polski eyes.
Is she Polish?
I don't know. She's just ambiguously white. No, ambiguously white. Immigrant, shall I say?
I could not move on with this Return of Us without addressing that song. Is a fucking banger. Hello, we are back. Bonjour, bonjour. This is Thank You Next, back in your ears after how long, Raj? It's been a while, isn't it?
It's been about just over a month that we've had our little
over
break.
Over a month? It feels like it. Genuinely feels like forever. I was nervous.
It feels like we've had like a summer break. Just because of like we've done a lot of like summer break stuff. And for some reason we got a bit of sunshine like in the middle of winter or whenever this was.
A lot has been happening. Me and Raj were going through all the shit that's actually gone down since we were recording. Money Heist has been out. Good Girls, Dear White People, Sex Education, Married at First Sight UK, Squid Games. Everything's going on.
And the final season of On My Block, which really let me down, really let me down. Really pissed off about the writing on that, but yeah.
Jesse Nelson has been accused of blackfishing. We even met up the other day and Adele is back with new music. She's bringing out a new album.
We met up the other day and you said that Mariah Carey was blackfishing.
I genuinely, when I was a child, thought Mariah Carey was blackfishing. Honestly, I was like, how is this allowed? And then obviously I realised.
So then obviously I was like, yo, she's Mariah actually, Carey's black.
She's actually, but she can pass as white.
But there are black people that can pass as white. That's kind of like what me and you were talking about off the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing that her husband was so controlling. And he wanted to market her as this white woman who made a certain type of pop music.
I believed it. As a kid, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why when like he was out of the picture, like she was like, no, that's it. I'm making music with like Diddy. I'm doing this. These are the producers I'm going to work with. This is the sound I'm going to work with. This is the look I'm going to work with. This is how much of my body I'm going to show. She wasn't even allowed to show her body and stuff.
Sad ting.
She was like always covered top to toe. Like she was always covered. We were lucky if we saw a bit of cleavage.
Remember when she did the Cribs and she was like, I'm going to get into another ensemble? Do you remember that?
I remember that Cribs. And then she got into her bathtub and there were like bubbles in her bathtub. I remember that Cribs. And I just thought, Mariah, you go, girl. You live your life. You be free.
Imagine being the guy like filming that. You're like, what the fuck? I literally just came in to just go around someone's house and here we are.
I think the dude from MTV Cribs would probably be used to diva behavior, like 100%.
Oh, yeah. Imagine the stories they've got to tell. Also, I remember someone telling me a story about MTV Cribs being fake and I was so shocked.
What, you mean like they rent the Cribs? They rent the house and it's staged.
I was shook.
I don't want to believe that, so I'm just going to ignore that. That's fine.
Some of that is easy to believe though, when you know the houses were so generic. Do you remember the house that Destiny's Child lived in and they all had like their themed room? That was too good. I believe it, but that was their rooms were really nice.
I based my teenage bedroom off of that room. You know, her room was like the genie room or whatever. So oh, it's like half pink,
Was that cultural appropriation?
Was it like, yo, Beyonce, you ain't Jasmine, but okay. No, I don't know. This is just it. Listen, anything could be cultural appropriation.
Where this conversation came from initially was I was telling you about Zolta. So me and Raj have had a lot of breaks during this period off. Raj went to Brighton. I went to Brighton, went to Wales, and I was on the seaside and I came across Zolta. Mum kept going on about fucking Zolta. And it's like a little machine. You put your money in and it tells you.
But like, you realise why Zolta is famous, right? Because he was in the movie Big.
Oh, no. Nah.
And that's how Tom Hanks became big, because he made a wish to be a grown-up.
No idea.
That's why Zolta has so much cultural relevance, because like it's from an 80s movie.
She knew what it was. I didn't know. I was just like laughing though, because as I was going up to Zolta, he had all these like, he was wearing a turban, of course he was, and he had like darkish skin. He had an accent, but it sounded like a Scottish person putting on like this generic accent. It was so weird. And then he had like a magic lamp at the side. It was really funny. And then whatever he gave us, he gives you a little ticket and it was just bullshit.
The little ticket is supposed to be like a fortune teller. So Zolta is meant to be a fortune teller. And like you go there and they give you a little fortune thing. And the last time I went, he gave me something about a new love that was going to enter my life. And I was there with my ex, who I thought I was going to spend my entire life with. So that was interesting. But I guess he was right. Zolta was right. But we were talking about the representation of like South Asians, like based off of that Zolta. Like that Zolta was like this mix of random ethnic
other things, exotic,
like the beard. The exotic darling. Yeah. And I reminded you of that thing that happened in a Steven Spielberg movie. I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it had Amrish Puri in it, and he was playing the baddie. And I remember they went into the baddie's lair, and Indiana Jones was obviously in there, and they were like, what's everyone eating? And everyone in there, who was obviously Indian, I think, ethnic, let's just say, they were eating monkey brains, because that's what we eat in India, apparently.
That's what, you know, when you come home from a hard day at work.
I mean, it makes sense. A country that is majority vegetarian eats monkey brains for dinner. Sure thing, boo. Thank you, Steven.
That's what I grew
Spielberg.
Up on.
Shout out to you.
What about you, Raj?
Yeah, like my mum sometimes puts monkey brains in my porridge.
Fucked. That is actually so fucked. But you made me laugh because you were like, oh yeah, what can they eat? What do I know? Monkey brain. Imagine the producer. Like,
yeah, the producer literally was sitting there like, okay, so we've got these Indians coming in. So like we need to like, you know, make them be eating something that's a little bit spooky, a little bit exotic, but let's say true to their roots, okay? Let's stay true to their roots.
Thank you, next.
We haven't been back in a long time. If this is the first time you're listening, I'm sorry, we didn't introduce ourselves. I am Raj.
And I am Hardy. And if you're new to this podcast, we basically turn our relationship L's into wins. We look at our behaviours in relationships. We think a little bit about why we did them. We do a lot of reflection here. And most of the time, we're probably laughing at ourselves because we did some dumb shit. And we're just thinking about it.
Or sometimes we're just crying about it, and like you just don't know about it because we're styling it out. You know. Now, when we say that we talk about relationships, we're talking about any relationship that exists in your life. So that person that keeps sending you scam texts, I told that person today to fuck off. I keep blocking the numbers and they keep coming back to me with this, you know, this Hermes parcel scam that's going around, where they're like, they text you and they're like, oh my God, your Hermes parcel will not get delivered unless you click on this link. And
yeah, but you responded to it.
I just responded and said, stop sending me these texts, dickhead, because I keep blocking the numbers as and when they come in, but they keep texting me.
I feel like that's how they know you're real, and they know it's a real number, so then I don't respond.
They can't get anything from you responding. It's just if you go into that link and then put in your details, because they try and get you to pay for your delivery.
I want them to think I don't exist.
They know I exist. That's how they got my number, right? They know so many things about me. For example, the week I was having my internet fixed, they knew I was having my internet fixed, so that they were sending me scams.
That's
about
so
my internet. So I'm just like, whatever you guys do, it's fine. Anyway, so that person, we could be talking about your mum, your cousin that always asks you when you're getting married, even though they know that you're single as fuck, your pet who gets grumpy when you don't feed them bananas, but you're trying to make them lose weight, so you don't want to feed them bananas, or the random dude that you started chatting to while you were at brunch. which happened to me and Hardy. We were talking to some guy at brunch.
You think he was cute, yeah?
You thought he was cute as well. We said he was all right. He was all right.
Yeah, he was cute. Anyways.
But he clearly had a lot of he had a lot of issues when it came to relationships, which we'll talk about.
We don't
later.
Know he had a lot. And he was quite open about them.
He was open with us about, but then I think maybe it's just because we're so approachable and we bring that out of people.
I think we were asking the right questions.
I feel like we were giving him a free therapy session.
Even though we're not qualified at all.
Yeah, unqualified therapist. I feel like that's a good title for us. That's fine. So if you've got a relationship lesson that you can share with us based on one of the relationships in your life or something that's gone down that's made you want to say thank you next, make sure you email us, send us voice notes to hi@thankyounextpodcast.gmail.com and follow us on socials to get involved in our polls, our giveaways, random shit we want to share with you from TikTok, like a car to ride. I just want to look into your eyes. That is a banger. We've asked you for a voice note, so we're going to share with you a voice note that we received. Okay, this voice note,
can you believe it,
is from Caroline. That's not a nice song about someone called Caroline, but is that what you're saying? Caroline, she needs a golden calculator to divide. Yeah, it's not a nice song, is it? No.
Sorry, Caroline.
Sweet Caroline, that's what we'll say. So, Caroline says that we're both awesome. This is so cringy, I don't want to say this. She said we're both awesome and she adores the podcast. And she says it's kept her sane throughout this horrible situation with a deeply selfish person. But now that she's got a lesson out of it and she keeps going and they've become a distant memory, and she's become a wiser person, she can be grateful for it. And that's very valuable, she says. So this is what went down with Caroline.
I've been through a recent friendship breakup with someone that I was very close to. And it has taught me to not mistake discouragement for advice. I've recently found out that I was discouraged from taking up an opportunity by this person. And I thought, well, it was packaged up as advice and I thought she had my best interests at heart. But it turns out she took the opportunity for herself. So as you can imagine, my trust is feeling pretty betrayed. But what I'm saying thank you next to is not backing yourself. If someone discourages you from doing something and makes it sound like it's in your best interests, you don't have to take that advice. If you think you can do it, just do it. Just take it. Just go for it.
I feel like straight off the bat, if anyone is going to discourage you from any opportunities, it's always in your worst interest. You didn't know that that person was going to take the opportunity for themselves, but any opportunity can lead to anything. And if you're really positive about it, it could open any doors. You even meet people, like think of the positive that you're going to get out of it. So why would someone ever discourage you from taking an opportunity? Unless, like, say, for example, you're my friend and you're really sad right now. And I know that something would make you feel sadder, or like if I knew it was wrong for you, or if I thought it was wrong for you, if it was something that's completely not in your interest or something you're overqualified for.
And obviously this person has now gone on to take that opportunity for themselves, which is just
fucked up.
You know, it shows you that there's snaky behavior there and they are a Slytherin.
Have you ever had something like that?
Yeah, kind of. I think kind of, but like, I don't know if it was like so much words of discouragement, but I did have someone go behind my back to get an opportunity that was mine when I was leaving that opportunity anyway. And I would have helped her do that, but she went and did it on my back and it got back to me and it wasn't very nice, and I don't talk to that person anymore because I thought it was very snaky. And it's just like, you didn't need to go behind my back about stuff like that and do all of that when I'm keeping you in the loop about things. But
it would have made it awkward, but it would have been way much less snaky to be upfront and be like, I'm interested in that opportunity, I might go for it.
Honestly, and it wouldn't have been awkward because like, I've actually helped this person with their career so much and like given them ins and things like that. If it was my decision to head out of an opportunity and make my way away from it, I don't care who gets it next. It might as well be someone that I know, right?
If you discourage me, though, from taking an say if I told you about something and then you discouraged me from doing it and then went for it for yourself, that's fucked. Yeah. And also that person must know you're a threat and you're so talented that they probably wouldn't stand a chance with you in the way, kind of thing. Although we shouldn't be thinking about all this stuff like scarcity, like it doesn't fucking exist and that there's not millions of opportunities. Yeah, that's fucked. Imagine if I did that to you. I was like, Raj, don't do this. And then I went for it.
No, it just wouldn't be a thing, innit? And that's the thing. Like, I just think when you do sort of talk about opportunities that are coming your way with your friends, they're more than likely to encourage it, even if you're not feeling it.
Mm.
Like, people tend to sort of go down that way when they actually care about shit that's happening. And I remember even when I was like leaving the podcast that I was doing at Radio One or whatever, like everyone was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Da, 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 da. Because it was an opportunity, isn't it? And it was like a golden opportunity that, let's just put it like this, as a brown woman doesn't come, there's not many brown women there, innit? Like, so it was just a bit like, oh my God, like, why are you doing this? And that's the natural reaction that you want. But it's when someone's actually, the thing that is weird about this one is that it's words of discouragement disguised as advice.
Because
It's like you go to your friends for advice, but like if they're disguising discouraging things as advice, how are you going to even clock that that's happening?
I think sometimes when you're in a bit of a shitty place, when your mind's a bit like fogged, you're like anxious or you're not sure, it's like you're not operating at 100% level. And then if you go to someone for advice and then they give you, yeah, they say that, sometimes it's hard for you to even like see through it because your mind is so fucking clouded. But yeah, no, that person's not obviously a friend at all.
And I have to think back to things. I feel like people have done this to me loads of times, like given me advice, inverted commas, which is actually discouraging, but I'm taking it as advice. And because they're my friend and I've given them that place in my life, I take it as advice and I trust it. But looking back on those situations, I'm kind of like, oh my God, they were always just trying to put me down or trying to like be like, you know, almost like negging, but like giving you advice, but it's negging.
People want to see you do well, but not better than them, innit? And that's it.
That is the problem. And I think that's what you got to recognize, is that your real friends are the ones that don't give a fuck, like, and are happy for you either way. And like that are celebrating your wins with you, or like commiserating your losses, or turning your losses into celebrations, whatever. And I'm only learning that really like now.
I wonder, Caroline, have you had a conversation with her since? Like,
Caroline, give us an update, actually. Did you try and talk it out, or have you just sort of left that person to it? And how did you find out that they went for that opportunity?
How were they discouraging you? Like, what did they say?
Maybe we could find some red flags in this.
Mm.
Yeah, I do just think it's that thing of like, when you trust someone, like whatever they say, you're going to think it's advice and you're going to think it's coming from a good place.
I try and not give advice like willy-nilly, because I don't know what's right for other people, but there are certain people who you do trust and you give them that place.
I guess it's that thing of like, you've always got to sit with yourself afterwards and sort of assess that advice and figure out what works for you and not really, you know.
I would ask a few people's advice if I was that unsure about something.
I don't know, man. Caroline, we need some updates.
Caroline.
Thank you, next to your snaky friends.
Yeah, thank you. Next.
So Caroline's friend who is snaky, thank you, next. Like,
you little snaky Jake.
We hope you find the light in your journey.
In the journey. Oh my God. I wish we need a singing bowl.
I need a singing bowl. And I want one of those things that goes bang, chang.
Mom's got those.
Yeah, I want these. And I can say these spiritual things. You know, I'm so spiritual now. You know that, right?
You are fucking spiritual. This is great.
So
fucking
spiritual.
So spiritual. You went to a fucking cacao ceremony. Raj, I don't even know what this, just tell us what the fuck it is.
I tried to take Hardeep crystal shopping on the weekend.
Basically, listen, I know when I've been in a shitty place, I don't have time for a lot of some things, like more bullshit. But like, you know, like,
it's not bullshit. Like
adding more and more makes it more complicated, when really for me, the most simple things work, like moving my body or being outside or breathing.
That's also very spiritual.
Yeah. But like, I just try and do those things. I try and not complicate things too much with like extra things. And also, I'm a bit of a minimalist. Like, I don't like having too many things. And I've got like a couple crystals, but I don't really rate them. But I guess they're okay.
I don't really use my crystals. That's the thing. I have them about, and they're there for like their meanings, and I put them in the right place according to whatever they're there for. But mainly, it's aesthetically pleasing for me.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You know that big crystal. I bought that peach and white one. It's just pretty and it matches my room.
And my mom's mate's talking about buying a new house, whatever. And she was talking about, she did a thing. She went in a house and she had some energy thing. One of these things that was like...
Reiki.
She does Reiki, like, but they also had... I'm doing my fingers pointing towards each other, like an energy...
They have a tool that
thing.
Tells you...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, she went in the house to check the energy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she was like, there was one bit where the energy was like off, and then she put things there, and I'm guessing it would have been crystals and other things to...
make it better energy or whatever.
And I thought that was interesting. It is interesting. Anyway, you took me crystal shopping. Anyway, back to it.
Anyway, we didn't get a crystal, but I've decided I'm going to get you a crystal when I see one that speaks to me and sort of says, I want to be Hardeep's crystal. So I sound like a fucking crazy person, don't I?
No,
I sound,
you don't. But
mental.
Tell us about this cacao ceremony, because we've saved this for the podcast. I told her not to tell me.
I went to a cacao ceremony with my friend Pav, and it was something that I remember I told you I had this life coach, and she was very spiritual, and she was also a period coach, mm-hmm. but she introduced a lot of spiritual sort of stuff to me, and she used to drink cacao. So I always buy this cacao that I drink like at night, especially when I'm on my period and stuff.
When you say you drink it, like how?
So the cacao that I get that she's recommended to me is actually just a cacao from Amazon, and it's powder. So it's cacao powder that you just mix with like either hot milk or hot thingy, but the cacao from the cacao ceremony is literally from cacao pods, and they make the cacao from that, and then they make a drink from that that you all drink. And I think it's based on, I want to say Mayan, it's a Mayan ceremony, I'm not sure though, but I know that they did these ceremonies like either in Mexico or South America or somewhere along those lines, and it was traditionally done for elders who were looking for answers to problems and things like that. And they would meditate on them by drinking the cacao. What the cacao does is it works with your heart chakra, and it opens up your heart chakra, and it makes you connect to your heart more. So you sort of get messages like in your meditation, apparently, which we'll get into that in a minute.
This does sound good.
You know, there's this show that came out actually over our break, which I also watched. I've watched every show that came out in our break, by the way, and it was called 9 Perfect Strangers. And it's got, I said to you, actually, tell your mum to watch it and let me know what she thinks. So it's about a healer, and Nicole Kidman plays the healer, and she's got a Russian accent. And the first time I heard that accent, I was laughing my head off. Yeah, but anyway, we'll get into that another time. But so she's this healer, and she's microdosing everyone on ayahuasca, and ayahuasca is like this herbal drug thing, I guess, but it makes people trip.
That's what my housemate
did.
We
were talking about this in our last episode, actually, before we went on our break. You were saying that your housemate did it, and I was like, yeah, getting into it, all of that. But yeah, that's what that show's about. She microdoses everyone, and they all have these visions, and then it changes their life, and they get in touch with different parts of themselves. But yeah, so that works with your brain, and that's why you sort of get all these, you trip on it or whatever. But it's not dangerous. Let's just put it that way. It works with your heart. So it's just sort of working with whatever's going on with you. So that everyone else there was... it was like their third or fourth time doing a cacao ceremony. It was mine and Pav's first time, obviously. And I walked into, it was actually at someone's house. So you go in, everyone like says hi, wherever you talk. Then you go into this teepee tent thing, like a proper teepee. It was beautiful. And there was this woman there, and she looked like the princess from Neverending Story. She was dressed in all cream. She had this like massive gold lotus necklace on. She had a gold like headband piece thing on. And I was just like, I literally said to her, you look like the princess in Neverending Story.
Did you ask her where she got it from?
No, and she gave me a hug, and I was like, oh, I want a hug from her.
Did she get it from Toys R Us?
Shut up, man. She didn't understand my reference, and I was like, great, I'm the only 80s baby here. Obviously, she must be like a 70s baby or something. Anyway, so we sat down, and then you set your intentions for the ceremony and what you're there for and what you want to get out of it. So everyone goes around the room, and they set their intentions. Then she tells you to look at the charm that's on your thing. And she gave us the cacao thing. Oh my God, I wish I got the cup for you. I've packed the cup away. It's a clay cup. Next to the cup is like a little red thread with a charm on it. And everyone's charms were so specific to them. It was wild. You have to, and you pick up the charm, and she says to everyone, talk about the charm and how it relates to your journey or whatever. And mine was a key with a heart on it and loads of little hearts around it. And I was just like, oh my God, because Pav has been telling me for months that my heart chakra is blocked. And I was like, no, no, no. But I'm pretty sure it was anyway. And my intention for my cacao ceremony was to remove any, to expose myself to any of the self-sabotaging behaviors that I have that are stopping me from moving forward in any parts of my life.
What are those?
I had a lot come up during my meditation. So then you do this thing, and then she does a guided meditation, and you drink the cacao first, obviously. Then you do a guide. Oh, she made us pull cards as well. And I pulled cards, and there was this Reiki healer, and I pulled a card, and it was like of a Mary Magdalene card. And she was like, I could see Mary Magdalene's energy around you. And I was like, what is going on? Please. I'm trying to get in touch with this Reiki healer to get meditation lessons, because my meditation is like shit. Yeah. Everyone else there was obviously very much more ahead of me. I'm very like a baby when it comes to meditation. They do a guided meditation, and she guides you to meet your ancestors. She's telling you that you're sitting around a fire with your ancestors. And everyone else that was in there, they had chats with their ancestors in their meditation via their guided. While she's doing guided meditation, by the way, there's someone playing the drums. There's like music. There's all sorts of things coming. And they ask your permission to touch you before you do your meditation. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. You can touch me. Like, you know, and she came over and she like, she touched my sacral chakra and she touched my heart chakra, and then she went back to my sacral. And I went and asked her afterwards, oh, and she gives you a personalized message that she gets from someone. And the message she gave me was, let it go. She was like, let it go, let it go. And I was like, oh my God. And then the messages that I got were pretty much like that. I self-sabotage myself a lot by checking up on my ex's WhatsApp.
She said that to you?
No, I got this. So when you're meditating, yeah, like, so obviously everyone else saw their ancestors and they were having chats with their ancestors and whatever. And I was there trying to connect to my ancestors and nothing was happening. But I heard songs. So I got songs in my meditation. Like, I didn't hear, I gotta ride, baby, I didn't hear that. But I got two songs. So I got Nas, and it was such a random song. I know I can be what I want to be if I work on it. I got that. And then I got, you know, that song that I tell you that I'm obsessed with, Alicia Keys and Drake. And I got the lyric.
Fireworks.
No, not Fireworks. It's the one that he wrote, Unthinkable.
All right.
And the lyric was, baby. Yeah, so the lyric was, someone's gotta make a move tonight, who's it gonna be? And in my head I'm like, not me, obviously. So anyway, so that was the lyrics. And then I got like, I saw an old budgie, I saw a rabbit, and I got messages like, let me actually get them from my phone just so I know that. All right, I got messages saying that I'm safe now and that I am safe. But it's like the messages, when I'm saying it, it sounded like it was me saying it, but it wasn't me, which was weird. And that I need to reconnect with my inner child, and that my self-talk is really negative. I heard someone talking about myself really positively, and it was my voice, but it wasn't me, because I don't talk about myself like that. So I assumed that the message is that my self-talk is very negative and that I need to work on positive self-talk. So I'm going to do, you know how you've got notes around your flat? I'm going to do positive self-talk things like on post-it notes everywhere, because it's pretty wild. But anyway, I got loads of messages. And then afterwards, everyone talks about their experience. And then she makes you a vegan meal, and then you just have further chats. And I said to her, like, when you were healing me, like, what did you feel? Was my sacral center blocked? And your sacral chakra is like where all your creativity is and stuff like that. Because I've been saying to you for ages, I've been trying to write and I'm just blocked. I can't write. I can't do anything. She was like, it was your heart that was blocked. And I had to ask your heart for permission for your sacral to be free. And I was like, okay. But anyway, since I did it, I feel really chill and I feel really like self-aware about things that I wasn't self-aware about before. Because whenever you've tried to tell me that I self-sabotage, I think I admit it, but I don't really want to explore it. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, I am, ha ha ha. And then I walk away from it. But now I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to explore that. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to actively work on my self-talk. I'm going to actively work on this stuff. And even if it wasn't my ancestors talking to me or whatever, it was a 1.5 hour meditation. At least by spending that long just thinking and focusing on whatever I wanted to set my intention to focus on, at least now I know that, okay, these are things I'm going to work on, and I know that that's what I'm going to work on over the next 6 months or whatever.
I feel like I needed to go with you, you know?
I want you to come with me so bad. I want you to come with me so bad.
Because like, I've not said it obviously yet, but I've been feeling really lost and a bit down. I don't know if it's ever or whatever, but that sounds really useful. And all the things that you've just told me, like the let it go, I definitely, in terms of your ex and things that you hate about the workplace we don't talk about, it's like, it's aged stuff, but I understand. But yeah. It's gone. Yeah. So yeah, 100%. And yeah, that seems very interesting.
It's so good. Like, obviously I'll tell you more when we're not on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I got so many messages and it was just like, oh my God. Like the self-sabotage thing was like that, even looking at him, checking up on him, being curious, Googling him from time to time, that's self-sabotage. So I haven't done it since. Oh yeah. I also got that I need to connect to my divine feminine. So that connecting to your divine feminine is usually like movement, art. But then I kept thinking about Doja Cat, you know, because she's like divine feminine.
I can be a woman.
But I think maybe like for my next one, it would be good if we could go together. It's pretty, because the thing is I think a lot of people were like, I told my other mate about it and she was like, oh, it sounds scary, da 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 da. And it's just like, it's literally just you looking inward.
Maybe we go and do some, can you take your phone?
Yeah, you can tell. I had my phone in there because I was making notes on my phone. Everyone else was like journaling when they came out of their meditation. I didn't take anything. I wrote everything in my notes app. I'm very aware that people do it regularly, but it's something that I would probably want to do once a year. Like, well, you know, when you feel like you need to check in with yourself, because I think even though we are so self-aware, there's also parts of ourselves that we don't let ourselves.
I've been avoiding like certain things for such a long time, like genuinely so long now. Oh, it's getting stupid. Like, and things I know I need to do and take care of.
So it's that thing, isn't it? And even that is like a form of almost self-sabotage because you're like stopping yourself from dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think before, like even when like anyone would say self-sabotage to me, I would think maybe I would get mildly offended, but now I'm just like, it ain't about that.
Everyone self-sabotages.
I think in some way or another, yeah. But it's avoiding things that you need to deal with.
Mm.
It's like not. It's like being scared to take that opportunity and actually not taking it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Or not even going for it, being scared to go for it. And that's like a self-sabotage thing. But yeah, so I'm really spiritual now. My spirituality is strong. Guys, it's strong in this one.
We're like...
And when we were at brunch, yeah, we're like so spiritual. And obviously I'm dragging Hardeep there with me. So when we were at brunch, we were talking to this guy and he was next to us. And he was told us that he hasn't been single since he was 18. And he hasn't not been in a relationship since then. And like, he looked about, how old do you think he was?
I thought maybe 30 something, but yeah, maybe he could have passed for like 28. But that was me before now I've been single for 3 years. So before that, that was me.
What, you've always been in a relationship?
Pretty, like I had someone about. I was in a relationship for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then before that, I was like pursuing him.
Yeah.
Aggressively for like a year.
Yeah.
And I was seeing someone else before that. And then maybe I was single for a year and then I had a boyfriend before that. There's just always someone about, isn't there? There was.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess it's different because you had that year of pursuing him. Like, whereas this guy sounds like he's just been, you know, in a relationship nonstop, like no time by himself, like literally.
I think it's quite easy for that to happen, especially now with like social media and stuff. But yeah, we were chatting to him. Wait, what were we going to say about him?
I was just going
to
say that like he was asking us like, how do I, because I said to him like, you literally haven't spent any time with yourself. You don't know who you are. You need to find yourself.
Oh yeah.
And then we were giving him advice. And then out of my mouth came something that I heard at the cacao ceremony. But when I said it, everyone looked at me like I was Yoda.
Like, what did you say? I can't remember.
I said, you need to stop distracting yourself with and looking outward for the answer. And you need to look inward.
Yes.
And everyone was just looking at me like I was Yoda and I was a Jedi and I was like, oh shit.
It's true, man. Like, I feel like there is no better advice than that because the answers are always within.
Within, darling. The answers are always inside. Inside, inside, baby.
Oh, I'm inside. Now we are coming for the ride. We actually need to get onto lessons really quick.
I know.
But before we do that, we just need to give a quick mention. Before we started recording, we saw that Courtney and Travis are a thing.
Travis forever. I'm actually so happy for Courtney, okay?
I'm indifferent/I'm interested because it's interesting, but I don't care.
I am an active Kardashians viewer.
Yes.
These women have been in my life for years on end. Like, I feel like they're extended family. So I'm so happy for Kourtney because it's just like, I feel like Kourtney tried for such a long time to make it work with Scott.
Yeah. The Scott memes are hilarious. I do feel a bit bad though, but...
Don't do it. Because I think Courtney's protected Scott. Even though they shared so much of their relationship on that show, I feel like she's protected Scott from quite a lot and protected him in the sense that she hasn't exposed every bad thing that he's done. But the things that we know of, which is like the constant drug abuse, the constant cheating.
But then Travis, isn't Travis the same kind of dude? Isn't he like
No,
a...
no.
Is he not?
No, not at all. Travis.
All right. Apologies, Travis.
Like, everyone looks at Travis and sees this dude with like, you know, I don't know, the skinhead vibe and tatted up to the nines. But like Travis is really like emotionally stable as a person. And he's always been in their lives because they've been neighbours for years.
I was thinking, surely he's fancied her for years.
Yeah. Apparently, like I was reading up on it today as a, you know, because I'm just curious. And apparently he's been trying to date her for so long, but she was fobbing him off for so long. And you know how Courtney, so there's this... Instagram profile called Nori's Black Book, and it's like it's meant to be like North, but it's not North, but it's like North's thoughts on everything. And she was like, it's like Auntie Courtney hasn't had a man before, you know, like how she like takes her pictures with Travis and whatever. But the thing is I think it is like that because Courtney actually hasn't had someone that she can celebrate love with, that she can trust fully and that she can see a future with, and that she can see her families merging together with as well. Like the dude before, Yanis, I think that was just a ting, innit? It was just a little toy boy thing. And then it was like Scott was like the baby father that she tried to make it work with for so long. And I genuinely think if Scott did pull his finger out and sort his shit out, she would have got with Scott.
People don't change.
Yeah. And there was a point in like the last couple of episodes of Kardashians where he tried to call her out for not waiting for him and that he was waiting for her and whatever. And she just gave it to him. She was like,
waiting.
Scott. Yeah. And she was like, Scott, I have told you to do certain things. I've told you to work on certain things and you haven't done those things. So don't have this conversation with me on this camera, like in front of camera, like don't. Because I think this is the thing, like we all feel sorry for Scott because he's likable, he's cheeky, whatever. But at the same time, Scott's not showing any growth whatsoever. You're right. He does date.
Yeah.
What was that meme you saw?
Oh, I can't remember. What was it?
Like, he's going to have to dump his girlfriend soon because she's about to turn 20.
No, it was like Scott on the way to date another 20-year-old. Now he knows that Thingy and Thingy are together.
Yeah, because who's he going to take to the wedding, babe? Some 16-year-old.
Is he invited?
He's going to be invited because she co-parents. Like, they co-parent really well together. That's awkward, and they're very though. Much in each other's lives. They make it work. Like,
oh, yeah, they've got kids. But how do you have the conversation? Like, how is she just hanging about knowing that he's like... with 20 year old, how can you even talk to him? Obviously you have to, the gift about the kids, but whatever,
because you have to separate that part of them, innit? You have to, and you just got to be like, as long as he's looking after the kids, I'm not getting involved in any of that. She's even gone on holiday with one of his tings and him. They don't have family vacation.
That's mad.
All those flowers that were around, you know, during the proposal, she deserves every one of them and more. She deserves the happiness. And I like that she's sharing it everywhere. And yeah, sometimes it is cringy. And sometimes, you know, I laughed when I saw that North Post thing and it was like, it's like Auntie Courtney hasn't had a boyfriend before. And it's like, actually, Auntie Courtney probably hasn't had someone that she can envision a future with before. Yeah, for a long time. Like, it's just that fact that this is someone that is stable, that she can see a future with. And like, I think she was trying to fight for that future with Scott for so long. And then, you know, the other little boy toys came along, but they were just boy toys. So I just think good for Courtney. You go, girl.
Have you seen these memes?
No, obviously I haven't because you're hiding them from me.
Not memes. Not these memes. These pictures.
Oh, she's just putting them
these
in the dot
pictures.
Now. Yeah, of course I've seen these pictures.
Sorry, he's like kissing her leg as she's going into the water.
Listen, this is, if I ain't got this, I don't want nothing else. If I ain't got this, I don't this want is, nothing else.
They're on
if
a,
you are
one,
not
on
licking my thigh when I'm coming off the yacht.
Yeah, I'd never seen these photos before. Obviously, so when we found this was a thing, obviously we knew we had to mention it, but we've got to, I was like, I care, but I don't care. And how do we know which bits manufactured and which aren't? But when I saw this picture of him kissing her leg, I was like...
Mate, you just need to go on her Insta and scroll. Like, everything is like this. Everything is like this. I just got to say one thing about this picture. It's a vibe. Travis is going for the ride. The ride.
Next!
So, Hardeep, you've moved into a new space.
I moved flats, I think a week after, or maybe the same week we did our last episode. And it's been so weird, like moving to a new area and being in a new space. But I actually live with friends now. And in my old flat, oh my God, you literally won't believe it. Right before I left, it kicked off. It was like hell. But it's got nothing to do with me. It was just my flatmate having some domestic issues. It's like I was saying, it's actually so mad creating in a different, being in a different space. But my flat's really nice and my housemates are great. But yeah, I'm in a different area of London. I have been finding it hard settling in. Just it's a bit weird. And now I feel a bit sad, which I think might be the weather. I also was on dating apps. I was on them on the last episode and then I deleted them just as I moved in, maybe after a week. And I had a date from the depths of hell. But we've chatted so much, I am going to save that until next week.
So next week, I want to hear about this date from hell. Because Hardeep has teased this date from hell to me many a time, but she's like, I'll tell you on the podcast. So
I've realized a lot of things though need processing a little bit. Sometimes it takes me a minute to process things before I can actually before I can put it into words. And that was one of them.
You've had a long time to think about it. And you know, you mentioned your housemates there previously. Mm. I thought we could share one story with everyone just because they might be having certain issues. And there was one thing that stood out to me. Obviously, there were much worse things, but we're not going to focus on that. I just thought the story that was interesting was this person would smoke weed and blame everyone else in the house, would blame everyone else and say that, no, it's that person smoking weed. It's not me.
Yeah. So the girl moved in and all of a sudden I noticed my anxiety levels going up. Basically, the smell of weed gives me anxiety. Yeah, it does. Don't care what anyone says. And obviously that's also related to some bad experiences. Yes. But also the smell of it, I can't stand. And I have to literally talk myself down. You know, you're literally about to have a panic attack kind of thing. So anyway, I noticed a few nights in a row that I had to keep calming myself down and talking myself down because I could smell it. And I was like, oh, it's just somebody outside. It's just someone, you know, it's fine. Like they'll just do it on a Friday. It's all right. Okay. No, it was her doing it every single fucking night. And it was pissing me off. And I really did notice my anxiety going like through the roof. So I asked her nicely, can you not smoke in the flat? And then she stopped smoking in the flat. Then she started smoking weed in the flat. Because she was smoking cigarettes before. I actually went to her door and I was like, hi, I can notice it smells of weed. And, you know, that really makes me anxious. And every night I've been feeling really anxious. Can you please not do it? And I think maybe it's because she's younger than me that I had the balls to actually do that, to actually go and like say something. And she said she'd stop and she didn't. And the whole time she was there, she didn't. And then it really kicked off before I left. But then the day I left, she said to my housemate, is it you? And he was like, obviously it's not me. And then he said he was in his room and he leant out the window and she was smoking out the window and he said, fuck off. And then she went outside. That's what you get. He actually told her to fuck off.
Good for him. She needed to hear it for a long time because it's one thing like when you're lying to everyone else, but then it's another thing when you're lying to yourself and you're literally saying to someone else, was it you smoking? When you're like, inside, it was me. Yes, I know it was me, but I'm going to say it's you.
Living with strangers and living in London or living in uni accommodation, whatever, you really, really do get to see different types of people and what they're like and what people are going through. And I'm like, wow, people like you actually exist. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to actually get onto our relationship lessons soon, LOL. But to warm us up a little bit, you know, we need a little bit of warming. It's been a while. Raj, what do you want to say thank you next to?
All right. This is actually from when I watched Money Heist, yeah? Mm-hmm. But it's also happening at the moment. So we know that season 3 of You dropped last Friday on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it's only been a couple of days. It's literally been a couple of days and everyone's talking about it like it's been out for like God knows how long and everyone's watched all of it. But people were sharing spoilers for You within hours of it dropping. Luckily, this time around, I've missed the spoilers, but all of my mates are like calling me and they're like, have you seen You? Yeah, I had to watch all of it because I didn't want to get the spoilers. I saw the spoilers. Oh, you need to watch it soon because the spoilers are going to mess it all up for you, blah, 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 blah. So I've made an active effort to not really go on Twitter, not search anything that I wanted to search from characters from the episodes or anything like that because I know that people are actively sharing spoilers. But it's something that I just think it keeps happening all the damn time. And it's annoying with Netflix because it's just like people watch that in their own time. Like they don't all literally not have jobs or whatever you guys are doing or waking up at 12, like when it drops and watching all of it all night and doing an all-nighter, like, and then tweeting about it the next day. And it's like, you can actually tweet your appreciation or issues or whatever with about a show without giving spoilers, and spoilers just ruin it for fucking everyone. So when I was watching Money Heist season 5 part 1, which dropped just as our break was coming, just as we were still deciding, are we going to have a break or not, but we had done our last episode, right? I went on Twitter, I was like a couple of episodes in, and there's this really annoying character in Money Heist called Arturo. He's such a fucking dick and he just doesn't die. Yeah. And I was like, let me check. I was like, let me check if Arturo dies. So I was just like, Money Heist Arturo in Twitter. Bang. What do I find? Okay, guys, if you haven't seen Money Heist, this is a spoiler. I'm going to talk about it because it's been... No, but I'm giving you a warning. Like, just skip about 10 minutes from now, yeah? So Tokyo, one of the lead characters, lead women, also the narrator of the series, dies. And I found out on fucking Twitter within the day that it dropped, like after, I was on episode 2 or something, and I was just trying to search about Arturo, but people were already tweeting about her death and whatever.
That's irritating.
There were pictures. You know, I knew it, how it was coming, and it really pissed me off because Money Heist is like, it's one of those iconic, massive shows. It's fucking massive. You know it's got a massive audience. People know people watch it at different times. Like, even the cast, like, as soon as it had dropped, there was like this massive campaign where it's like, don't share the secrets, don't tell the spoilers, don't do this, blah, 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 blah. But no, everyone fucking did it, and it ruined it because I was just like, that. Also, she's one of my favorite characters. And it was just very, very annoying because last time, a couple of seasons back, I think a season back, when I was watching Money Heist and I was talking to this dude on Hinge, he told me that fucking Nairobi died before I knew Nairobi was going to die. So I was like, you fucking ruined Money Heist for me. And now someone else has ruined it for me, and it's fucking Twitter spoilers. And it's just not fair. And I just didn't know where I could go. So this anger is actually a month and a half worth of anger that is like pent up. But it's just like, why do you feel the need to share spoilers when you're tweeting about how you feel about the show? Why?
Because we know things drop, and you know, people watch things different times around the world, and Netflix, it's not once a week. All you can do, and what I do, I don't Google people. I don't watch along on Twitter, tweet along, and I would never search anyone's names because that's it. And then even if I'm talking to you about it or anybody, I'll say, because I watch things at my own pace, I'll be like, I'm on episode 2, don't say anything. And then if someone then goes ahead and then tells you in person or on Twitter, I guess you searched for something you thought was irrelevant and then, oh yeah, it came up. But like, people are going to talk about it after, like, I may destroy you. There's a lot of things to say about that. But I don't know if you'd have to talk about the death and give...
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You could say death of a main character. Oh, I don't know, whatever you want to say. Or just say like, oh, lost a favorite character, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you know that there's a death coming. But and it's just that thing of like, learn how to share your opinions. Learn how to share your thoughts without sharing spoilers. And I mean, I will never make that mistake again of searching someone's name or whatever ever again. But it was just like, oh my Lord, why have you fucked up my whole viewing pleasure? And it was like, I was, every episode I was just watching, it was the same with the Nairobi thing. I was just expecting it to happen. I was like, oh, it's going to happen now. Oh, it's going to happen now. Oh, it's going to happen now. And when it happened, I really...
That is annoying.
Yeah, yeah. I am going to talk about Tokyo's death in my first lesson. So we'll get onto that a little bit later. But I was just going to say, we've all watched Squid Games now. I feel like...
I've not seen it.
Oh, you haven't?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No, but you know what? I was in Stratford Station yesterday and my Bluetooth was on, and I got a pop-up that said, Squid Games accept or something. And I was like,
oh, people are being so fucking stupid.
No, but I didn't know if that was like, you know, sometimes there's like promo stuff. This means nothing to me.
I don't know if I'm saying it.
Oh,
right,
that's the TikTok sound. Obviously, the sound of the thing.
That's the Squid Game sound, yeah. But I'm just going to say this for anyone who has watched Squid Games. I feel like there should be a Squid Game level punishment for people who tweet spoilers. I am out, over and out, bang.
I've seen the TikToks about Squid Games where people are like, well, I would feed the members of Squid Games. And then there's that girl that everyone thinks is hot.
She's very hot. Yeah, I followed her on Insta afterwards. I was like, you're hot.
Speaking of hotties, before we get on to our lessons, what do you make of people thinking, is his name Joe? Is it Joe?
Joe, yeah, Joe Goldberg, yeah.
What do you think of people thinking the guy from You is hot?
I think they're mentally disturbed. I think there's something wrong with you. You need to figure out what the fuck is wrong with you for you to be attracted to someone so toxic. And also, I don't think he's even trying to be hot. So the fact that people are finding him hot is fucking weird. Do you find him hot?
Have you seen him like... No, have you seen him try and crack a smile in You? It's so creepy. When he smiles, it's like weird. It's scary.
I just think it's funny because it's just that thing of like, a woman can do anything to Joe and Joe will be like, is she flirting with me? Like, are you?
Oh my God.
And the memes, no the one's memes, like the memes, like we were just looking at Netflix India meme and it is that nobody. And then me, when they reply to one of my stories, oh my God, is he flirting with me? But I have to be honest, I do think that. If someone's like looking at my stories and shit and replying to my story, I'm like, yeah, you fucking want me. But that's my own issues. It's fine. We'll sort that out another time.
Fucking hell. Right.
You didn't tell us if you think he's fit. Is he fit?
Oh, do I think he's fit? No, I don't. I guess he's like aesthetically, like if you saw him in the street, he looks okay. But like, obviously his behavior and what he does and the fact that he's so like, I did this for you. I did this for you. It's like all this bullshit. How they him and Love like convince themselves they're good people. I'm just like, get a life.
I just think the actor, Penn Badgley, like as Joe, is not attractive. But Penn in general, I think he is attractive like in his day to day, you know, whatever. But it's just like, Joe, if people...
Do you like it when he puts on that hat?
No, I hate that. And like, I have an ex of mine that used to wear a hat like that. And I'll be like, please don't do that. You look like Joe. Like, you look like... And, you know, they would still go around doing it. But it scared me because it was just a bit like, you actually always were a psychopath and I just didn't see it because you went around trying to look like Joe. It's weird.
Next!
Right, we're going to get on to our lessons.
Oh, my God. It's been a while since we did these.
Fucking hell. Lesson one is coming from you.
It is coming from me, so...
One top me...
Being too attached to the life that I'm currently living is a no-go. And again, this sounds like a hella spiritual lesson that like we need one of those sound... Do you make that noise that sound bowl would make? It sounds like I'm living a life of non-attachment, a very Buddhist life, which I definitely am not, but I do want to practice non-attachment. But the lesson, this lesson is, I was told you guys I was going to talk about Tokyo's death in Money Heist, and this lesson actually comes from that death. And it starts off because in season 5 we see her love story with Renee, who was her first love, and she actually, that is her, the love of her life, like, sorry to Rio, but that is the love of her life. And it's all about like kind of how she got over that death and how she moved on to the next stage of her life, and how meeting the professor and meeting Rio was actually, in her words, in that, it's been a while since I've watched it, so it's probably, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like her second life, she was saying. And it just kind of made me think that in life, in our one life that we have, we do live so many different lives, right? Like, you were a student at one point and you had whatever, or like I was coming out of high school, going to uni, thinking that I had met the person that I was going to marry and spend the rest of my life with, and God knows what, right? You're constantly a different version of yourself at different stages of your life. So why do we get so attached to that one thing that's happening in our life at that time, that where we get to the point where like, I'm not going to change this. I'm not going to let this go because this is who I am and this is what my life is about and blah, 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 blah. So whether it's a job, like I've seen people do this, they get so attached to their jobs. And then when something happens, like their role changes or they lose their job or something, it's like they have an identity crisis because they're like, who am I without this job? But it's like, that was one part of your life. That was one chapter of your life. That wasn't your whole life. You weren't going to die in that role. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think some people want to do that and some people don't, but it's that thing that you get so attached to these random little things and these roles that you assign yourself. Like, oh, I am the funny friend. Like, that was me before. I was like the funny friend, but you know, I couldn't be the serious one. I couldn't have a serious conversation with anyone. But now I'm like, oh, let's talk about your spiritual demons or whatever. You have so many lives within one lifetime, and that it feels so hell-bent on and tunnel visioned on focusing on just the life that is in front of you, that you're just never going to accept or be ready to for what's next. And there's that TikTok that I keep getting served, and it's a sound where it's like bow, wow, or whatever, and everyone's like, oh, you know, you're on the net, or you're on to season two or season three or the next season of your life when there's new characters, new storylines, new locations. Do you know what I mean? Plot development, da 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 da. And it's like, sometimes when you're so attached to where you are currently at and the life you are currently living, that you're so tunnel vision that you're just not even letting new characters come in. You're not letting new storylines develop. You're not even thinking about other locations. You just set, like, I go here on a Saturday morning, so I'm going there. I'll go for brunch at this place. Da, da, da. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is my gym regime, and this is my regime, and this is my life, and this is very much it. It's just that thing that if you think like that, like, when you do get let go, like, then what happens? What happens when, like, that friend that you thought you were going to buy a house next door to is no longer your friend? What happens when that person that you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with cheats on you? Like, what happens, you know, when someone really, really close to you dies even? Like, if you hold on to like attachment to all of that stuff and just how that was, and keep focusing on what it was rather than what it's going to be now and what's next, you're just fucking yourself up the ass, aren't you?
There you go, Raj. You're just fucking yourself up the ass. I think I have throughout life tried to practice non-attachment by, like, not having too many things or switching things up so much, or like switching up where I live, or lived in places which I didn't think of forever, kind of thing. I think I've said this to you, but I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. Like, I used to cut my hair off to be like, I'm not attached to it, but actually I really am.
But what made you make that decision to, like, okay, I'm not going to be attached to this, and I'm going to cut my hair just so I'm not attached to it, and I'm going to move around so I'm not attached to these areas? Or
because you always hear people say things like, out of your comfort zone is where you learn and blah blah blah, but at the same time, I think I was attached to my old place and where I was living and the life I was living there, which is why I'm currently finding it hard here where my new place, because I'm like, not here yet. But I remember before I left, I was like, this is a new chapter, this is exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I think for me as well, like, when I had a job and then I got let go, I had no choice but to be thrown into freelance life and work, oh yeah, a bit in social media if I want to, or a bit in radio if I want to. And I feel like being freelance is a bit of a lesson in non-attachment in a way.
Yeah.
But it's definitely hard. And there's times where I might do more radio work, or times where I might do more social media work. What are you doing now to practice this? What are you thinking about, or like maybe reconsidering?
I think I get attached to people a lot, and I think, yeah, that's one of the things. And then I think when I get let down by those people, it cuts me really deep, and I end up sort of blaming myself for it. I'm like, what did I do? And so I'm just kind of like, it's cool, like, you know, today I have these friends and I have these people that I can turn to and blah 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 blah. But tomorrow, if that went away, like there was an argument that took place and we couldn't recover from it, or God knows what, I don't want to be in a place where I'm like, oh my God, now I'm lonely without them, or I'm this and da da da. So like, the way I practice non-attachment is by spending more time with myself and by doing more things for myself. And I don't know, I've kind of been having loads of conversations with people at dinners recently about relationships and how I envision my next relationship being and what I want it to be like. And being independent is a massive part of what I want that relationship to look like. I want him to be independent. I want me to be independent. I want my girls' nights to carry on. I want, you know, him to do whatever he wants to fucking do. And I want it to be, I was sort of talking about how I want it to be like, if I have to go away for a work trip or if he goes away, whatever, that we're not dying without each other. Because I've been around couples where someone is away for a night and the other person is like, I can't sleep without you. I can't eat without you. Like, what do I eat for dinner now? What do I do?
That sense of like being lost without the other person. I think, you know what you said, that you've been like, you think about, oh, what am I going to do without that person? I try and now I've tried and create a life. Maybe it's like the opposite, being avoidant or whatever, trying to not create a life where I'm too dependent on one person. And I also do see the value that I get from all different types of relationships. Like the time we spent the other day was really nice. The time we're having right now is really nice. But equally, I might need someone for something slightly different. And you might need someone for something slightly different. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I did recently like meet up with a friend, and I met up with her thinking, I'm going to be with you all day. And it's not you, lol, because this literally happened with you. But like in my head, I was like, my calendar was open for her.
Yeah.
We didn't decide exactly what. And we met up for some food. And then I was like, oh, now what? And then she was like, oh, well, so-and-so finishes work at this time. So, yeah. And I was just like, okay. Like, I remember I used to do that. Not that to that extreme, because I'd never had someone around like that. But this person lives with the other person, so it's like their schedules are so, what are we going to eat for dinner? And obviously that is a thing.
Yeah, but also
like, don't fucking forget about everybody else. I used to be that girl too, so I can't blame this person for being that.
Yeah. It's interesting when you're like seeing someone do it like something that you did before. Because you're kind of just like, okay, you're at that stage.
Like, I'm just like letting her have it though, because I'm like, you haven't had that before, so cool, have that, if that makes you feel good. But as a friend, it just makes you feel like you're just using me for the hour allotted time that you've got. And sometimes I find that they meet you when the other one's busy, when their partner's busy anyway. And it's like, there is someone, actually, who is it? Someone I know who purposely meets me, or I feel they were purposely meeting me when their partner was busy. And I'm like, you're a cunt. You're just trying to show that you've got a life as well. Like, you're just literally trying to show your partner you've got a life.
It's like you're the distraction for that little time period. And then you go back to the partner mode or whatever, which is, it's not, you know, each to their own, man. But like, it's not what I want my relationship to look like in the future.
No. Yeah, that I can't sleep without you.
Yeah. Like,
you were slept alone for the first how many years of your life? You could do it again, babes.
Oh my God. If I was sharing a bed with someone and then I had the bed to myself for a night, my Lord, I would be like, yeah, baby, starfish. We're a fucking starfish.
I was going to say, starships. Starfish.
I'm made to starfish in a king size fucking bed. Like, no. Oh my. I remember like just those times where when I was living with a partner, I remember one time they just allowed me from meeting up with their sister and all of that. And it was the best day ever. I can just remember it now. Like, I did my nails, did a face mask, I washed my hair, had Thale in my hair. I was watching like girly Netflix shows. Like, oh my God, it was the best. And I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever.
And we can do that every day if we choose to.
Yeah, I think the non-attachment thing, like, it's just an important thing. Like, and you said like you don't have a lot of things. So like,
I try not to. But I did when I was younger. I had loads. I had like bed dust.
I think everyone does. But it's that thing of when you're younger as well, like people buy you things and then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, and you keep them. Whereas now, if someone buys me something, immediately I'll know, like, am I going to donate this to Goodwill? Am I going to ask them to get something else for me? Am I going to, do you know what I mean? Like, because you're kind of like, okay, I just want stuff that A is going to, it's like Marie Kondo, does this bring me joy like or not? Because otherwise it doesn't need to be here. I think you can apply it to literally anything in your life, that non-attachment thing. Because we do get so thingy of like, if I don't get this job, then my life is going to be shit. Like, you know, and if this guy doesn't see me for my full potential, then my life is going to be shit. No, his life's going to be shit, but it's not my problem.
Not your problem, bro. So what are you saying thank you next to, Raj?
I am saying thank you next to being attached to the life that you are currently living. And if you need extra info on that, just watch the death scene of Tokyo, because she actually says it to Rio. Like, he's watching her die and you can see he's in that hole like crying, and he's literally like this, like, and she kind of in her head, you know, like you could hear her monologue, and she's like, Rio, this is a new chance for you, you're getting a new life now, your second life is about to start right now, but you just can't see it now because you're just focusing on that I'm going, kind of thing.
But is she saying that out loud or just in her head?
No, it's monologuing. It's all in her head. Like, so it's just, you know.
I always think that, you know, anytime anyone tells me anything bad, like not bad, okay, yeah, whatever, something that they didn't expect, I always just think, well, you're free now, or you're this now, or what are the opportunities, yes, or whatever. And it's not like being toxically positive. Like,
no.
It's no. just about, like, I don't know, sometimes there's fucking move things about. Well, you know what it was? Married at First Sight. The guy, he doesn't want to move out of Leeds to go live in Ireland. The guy's fit and it's Ireland and it's beautiful. And I'm like, what are you going to do in Leeds, mate? Just fucking go.
And did he go?
I don't know. I haven't got there yet. Don't nobody tell me because I don't want to know.
No spoilers, okay? Thank you, next to spoilers.
Thank you, next.
All right, so we're going to get on to our second lesson, which is being brought to us by Hardy. So one taught me.
Sometimes it is a time thing. Are you excited? You're like, ooh, what's this?
Is this a divine timing?
Maybe, like, maybe it is, you know, this is more, I feel like maybe this might be just more thoughts than actually come to a conclusion on this. I don't know if we can't come to a conclusion on anything really, but.
Not on everything. Yeah, no, yeah, go on.
You know, in sex education, this is, it made me think I know about it. Sex education. Oh, it's a Maeve, like for seasons and seasons and seasons, you're like, oh, why don't they just come together? When's it going to come together? Like, you're just fucking waiting for it.
Yeah.
And then finally it did. And it was the right time. And the pieces came together for them to be an actual thing.
Yeah.
Obviously they parted in the end of the end. Spoilers, sorry. In the end of the end, they parted for whatever reasons.
But it was a healthy parting, wasn't it? It was a healthy...
Yeah.
I thought it was very healthy.
Yeah, but it was also sad because it was like they've just come together and now they're apart. But anyway, let's not get bogged down in their parting. Yeah, it kind of reminded me about like friendships when you kind of like come together with people at certain times and then you maybe like fall away from each other at certain times, or like certain people are like more prominent in your lives at certain times and not. And it also reminded me a little bit of the person that I was seeing last year-ish. We had been in each other's lives, in and out of each other's lives so many times, but then it was obviously a bad time, but it seemed like a good time to try and make things work, but it still didn't. So it just made me think, sometimes things are just down to time. Like, it's just time. That's it, really. Like, both parties need to be open at the same time. And, you know, there's obviously loads of different factors involved as well. But yeah, this is important. What about life? Even with me and you, though, you knew me.
Yeah.
I trolled you unknowingly. I knew of you. We were in each other's circles, but we came together at the right, or at a time.
Yeah, 100%. And it's just that thing of like, we can actually spend time together and have real conversations and all of that. And like, we could have been having those conversations, I don't know how many years ago, when I would see you in the office or whatever. But again, yeah, it was, I guess it is just a timing thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I just think if we did come together then, maybe we wouldn't have had this dynamic.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't have been who I was then. And you wouldn't have been on this then.
No. Whatever level I'm on now, definitely not. Like, so I just sort of feel like 100%, and that it is just a timing thing. And it's that thing of when you're thinking and looking back on a relationship, like how you just did, sometimes people do this, don't they? They think about like, if I met that person at a different time of their life,
yeah,
and what would that have looked like, and you know, what version of them would I have got? You just don't know. And it's that thing of even like when we talk about our exes and things, like the person we remember them being isn't necessarily the person they are right now.
Yeah, I think I've changed a lot.
Yeah.
As in, I try and not be so reactive. I try and be a bit more independent than I was. I think the other thing that this has just made me think about a little bit is like with the, say I was feeling lonely.
Yeah.
Which I have been feeling quite lonely, even though I live with my best friend now, which is fucking like amazing. So many good things are happening. But yeah, I was feeling lonely and I reached out to somebody who was always emotionally unavailable to me and always would show behavior of being there, not being there, taking days to respond and then saying sorry, just showing inconsistent vibes. It reminded me of a Scott Disick in the Courtney Sitch a little bit. when we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in the situation at the time, I was like, if only this person could be doing this. And obviously you can't change people. I got blanked by this person the other day and it did upset me. And I told you about it. It obviously upset me because I was like, why are you doing this to me? But I think time has showed me as well that they're still showing the same inconsistencies that they were then and they are now. And if I had waited I'm not going to sit around and wait.
No.
But I still feel like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just a bit mad. But they're still showing the same shit.
It's that thing of if you would have waited, you would have been essentially fucking yourself because...
Literally.
You know, this person is still the same person. They're still riding that same boat. Like they haven't got on the harbour and got on another boat or whatever they needed to do. So... you're right. It is a timing thing. Sometimes it is a timing thing and sometimes it isn't. Like, so this is just it. But whereas if this person was amazing right now, then you could look back on it and be like, oh, it just wasn't the right time.
yeah.
But you kind of can't even do that now. Like, you're just kind of like, okay, this person just doesn't want to evolve.
I had to question myself though, because I'm like, I was saying when I told my friend about it, I was like, I am feeling lonely, or yeah, I am feeling a bit down, or I am feeling a bit unsettled in my place. What is making me then reach out to somebody who is emotionally unavailable and treated me badly? And I'm like, why would I do that?
Is it not because like that's the role that you wanted that person to play, and that there's a bit of hope that this person could play that role potentially at some stage?
I am one of those people that, okay, so I've got one ex that treated me really badly, who was a fucking prick, who would just argue with me all the time and treat me like absolute shit. And I just knew it wasn't right. I was in control of that. I felt in control, even though there was a lot of situations where I didn't feel in control because he was obviously a bit abusive. I think maybe, yeah, this it might have something to do with that because I wasn't the one to be like, fuck you.
Going back to like Otis and Maeve, that being a timing thing, what did that teach you?
That you can't always take things personally. Like, she had bare shit going on in her life with her like mom and like the other guy. And yeah, she had like a nice thing going on with him as well. And he was like a good friend. And well, I mean, he did a bit of weird shit too, but you know, I don't know. There's a lot of factors involved in relationships, but time is also a thing. I've definitely, even based on our location and stuff, been closer to certain people at certain times in my life. One time I had a friend move close to me and we weren't that close, and now that she's further away, I feel like our interactions are more meaningful. Did you notice the Otis and Maeve thing? What did you think about their whole sitch?
I kind of think that it shows that you can have a very healthy relationship even if it's a non-relationship, because I feel like while there was a lot of miscommunication in the last time, and obviously it was down to her little friend Tingling who you know, deleted Otis's messages and stuff. Like, they both continually grow, but there's still like this connection that they have. They do come back to that and explore it continuously. And they're both mature enough to continually explore it rather than like, you know, be like, oh, that person's a dick. They did this to me. Like, Otis could have been like, yeah, Maeve blanked me. She did this, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to talk to her ever again. But
that's what I was going to say about the exes. It's like some people, I feel like, absolutely no, cut off. But with theirs, it was like open and like, evolving and whatever. I guess you don't think about old people and think, oh, what if this, if that, because yours are all dickheads.
No. And the thing is yeah, it's the reason why I can't think about them like that is because I worked to death to make that work. And if me breaking my back couldn't make that work,
yeah, true,
then I can't. How am I gonna, you know? And what I've recognized is that also those were such unhealthy behaviors on my part to be like, oh, yeah. Let me break my back and fuck everything in my life up to make this work. No, like it can be so.
I did that too, to be fair. Yeah. I have done that. I do that. I don't do half a job other than with the date, which we'll talk about next week.
We're going to find out about this date next week. It's just that thing. And what I really liked about Otis and Maeve is that, you know, she got that opportunity to go to America. And I don't think he did. I don't think he did stay. I don't think he did say stay for me. Like, I think he was like, yeah, you got to go kind of thing. But he did say, what does that mean for us? And they said they would, you know, take a break and revisit where they're at when they're back, which I thought was a very healthy, mature decision for when, you know, someone you love, which is very clear Otis loves her because he couldn't say that he loved Ruby, innit?
I love them. Oh my God, I can't believe that. I felt so bad for Ruby. Also, can't believe she was in EastEnders. And I'm glad that Maeve's mate, is it, what's, is it, I want to say her name's Amy.
Amy, yeah.
I love that she was like, you're fucking going, bitch.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know what? Adam was my favorite. Was it Adam? It's Groff, isn't it? Adam Groff.
Mm.
He's my favorite. He is my fucking favorite.
Really?
And Ruby was my favorite. Yeah, because their character, the characters grew so much this year that you kind of saw why Ruby is a bitch and why she has this hard exterior and why she, you know, actually what her home life is like, and that deep down inside she's really soft and she talks to her dad all the time nonstop about Otis. Like, it was cute.
Adam reminds me of a lot of emotionally unavailable men in my life.
But Adam's growing, you know? Adam's evolving. Even
he's growing. Eric needed to go and he needs to grow.
Yeah, they both
need to grow separately. 100%. Yeah.
Like, I think Eric's obviously in a very different place, even with his sexuality, and Adam's in a completely different place. So it's kind of like, okay, cool.
Mm.
But even Adam's dad, like, I really liked it when he was at that family dinner and he just told his dad and he told, no, was it his dad or he told his brother? Just told his brother, like, that this is who you are, bitch. This is who you are.
Do you know who his brother is? No. Okay, one second. Sex Education season, what season is it?
3.
What's his dad's name?
I don't know, Adam's dad.
Adam's dad's brother. I think, wait there. This is really important. Adam Groff, dad. I need to make sure it's right. Okay. Yes. 1 second. Is Jason
Isaac.
Yes. And you know who that is? Yes. That is fucking Lucius Malfoy.
Oh my God, is it?
Yes.
Malfoy.
Fucking Lucius Malfoy.
Still playing snakes. Still in TV shows playing snakes. We love to see it. We love to see it.
Fucking hell.
We love to see it.
He's been typecast, hasn't he?
Yeah, I guess.
It is weird to see him in like a modern environment though, being a prick in like a modern
without his hair and his wizard outfit or whatever.
I was really excited, as you can tell. Anyway.
I can tell you're very excited. I did say to you that like they've got the wands in Leicester Square at the moment, like life-size giant versions of the wands on display. So yeah, we should go have a look and play under the wands. Sounds a bit weird, but yeah. So what are you saying thank you next to, Hardy?
I'm saying thank you next to forcing shit when the time is off or like waiting for the time and blah, blah, blah. Like the time's right or the time ain't right. That's it. You know what I mean?
I don't believe in waiting for somebody. I think that's not a thing.
Well, actually, I did wait around for my ex whilst I was pursuing him. But no, I wasn't waiting. I was an idiot first and then I waited because I fucked my chance. But I had a second chance.
Just so everybody knows, me and Hardy, we ain't waiting for nobody.
I'm not waiting, but I do hope some people change. But then it's like, I'm not sitting and waiting you change for me, but I just hope you change. But then I don't want you when you changed. I don't want you now. You know what? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Thank you. Next.
Right, we're going to get on to our third lesson. This one is coming from Raj. So one to me.
To understand my triggers.
Very interesting. Tell me more.
Right, me and my friend went for a drink the other night.
Does she know you're going to be talking about this?
No, but it's fine. She knows it's my podcast. I talk about stuff, whatever. But I got so triggered by something that she said to me, and I was so triggered by it that I went home and I didn't talk to anybody and I just cried. I cried about it at home and I was like in a state, like a proper, I haven't cried like that in a long time, like proper like heartbroken, sobbing, crying, breaking down, crying. So next level crying, yeah? Very odd reaction to have to something. What happened was we were having a conversation about a couple of things and I was just filling her in on like 3 things that have happened in the last week or so. Nothing was very animated. I wasn't animated or anything. And it was post my cacao ceremony. Like, so I think me post my cacao ceremony is a very chill me, a very new, chill, non-attached me. But we got in the car and she's dropping me home. And as we were near my house, she was like, I just want to say something to you. Don't get offended. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. But you're really angry. You need to figure out why you're so angry and what that's about.
Was that today or in general?
I think she meant just about that day, I guess. And I just sat in the car and normally even that, like if someone had said something to me like that and I didn't agree with it, normally I would have got really defensive about it and like my body language would have changed and, you know, I would have been like, actually, do you know what I mean? Like, let me set you straight. But even how I handled that was different, which showed me that, okay, there is a bit of growth, like, thank God. I was just kind of like, I'm not really sure why you're saying that. This is what I discussed, and that what I was sharing with you on this situation was just observations.
Mm.
This, for this second situation, was concern. And for the third situation, I was just thinking that I pissed someone off, and I just wanted to let you know that I think I've pissed someone off.
Mm.
All of those things were literally nothing to get angry about. So I was a bit like, oh, okay, that's a bit fucking weird. So then I went home and I was like, oh my God, why did she say that to me? Why did she say that to me? And why would she knowingly say something to me that she knows would upset me? And the reason why she, like, I'm saying that is because my previous partner, who was emotionally abusive and all controlling and whatever, whatever, the way that he used to control certain situations when I would try and talk to him about things he had done wrong or things that were going wrong was, if I was talking about something and I was passionate and maybe I was on the verge of tears or whatever, he would say to me that, you're angry, you've got anger issues, you need to calm the fuck down, like, you're really angry, da 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 da, your anger is messing up this relationship. Mm. So it was like a thing where it was like me trying to have difficult conversations became like me being angry. So I was really triggered that she called me angry when I wasn't angry, and I had to like sit at home for ages and figure out, why am I so triggered by this? But before I was at that stage where I could be like, why am I so triggered? I was just like, I can't believe she did this. And when she knows that he used to do that to me, like, I can't believe she did this. And she knows what I'm like when I'm angry. Like, when I'm angry, Hardy, like, I'm pretty sure you've probably seen me when I'm angry at this stage. I can't deny it and you can't deny it. Do you know what I mean? It's something that we both won't be able to deny, because I will be livid. Like, mm. I will, my body language, my voice, my tone of voice, the how fast I'm speaking, it's all going to be very like fast and pow, 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 pow. So I was like, oh my God, like, why is she? And it became more about her when it really, it was about me. And the fact that I was triggered, and why am I triggered? So I had to go and evaluate and be like, okay, the reason why I'm triggered is not because she said I'm angry. It's because she said I'm angry when I wasn't, which is a very specific thing. But it's just something that I used to experience a lot in that relationship. And how that made me feel was that, like, I can't express myself or talk to anyone about how I feel about anything because they think I'm angry mm. when I'm talking.
Is there something about that word that, okay, obviously he used to say it and
yeah.
So that's that situation. But is it something about that which you don't, like, outside of him? I don't know if you can think about it. Like,
no, because in general, like, outside of him, people call me angry when I'm passionate, which I feel like is just how people talk about women when they've got something to say that they don't like. So I never really take it seriously when people say it in general. Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
When someone's saying, oh, you're angry about this or whatever, I don't really take that serious. But if it's a situation where I'm actually having a calm discussion, like now I'm talking calmly to you and someone says that to me, it does trigger me, because it's like anything I do is wrong. It's like someone telling me that anything I do is wrong and that I'm in the wrong for just being there. That's how I feel.
Mm.
Because if I'm not angry, but you're telling me I'm angry, what does that make? Does that make it true? And that's how it was in that relationship. Like, everything he said was true, but what I was saying was wrong. Do you get what I mean?
That's like gaslighting though, isn't it?
Yeah, he was gaslighting me and he was telling me that I was angry and I had anger issues and I was this and I was that. But all I was doing was trying to solve our problems and like get to the bottom of them, which obviously was never going to happen. So that's why it triggered me. But then I figured that it was just about my past and that it's like a wound that can be cut open at any time mm. by anyone who accuses me of the same when I am calm. Because me being called angry is like quite, I get that a lot anyway, just because I'm outspoken about things. Do you get what I mean? People are like, oh, she's angry. And that doesn't bother me. But it's just that thing that I let it become a thing where it was like, oh my God, she's not a good friend to me, when it wasn't even that. It was just, it was something that triggered me.
Mm.
And it wasn't her fault that it triggered me.
It's interesting that you went home and like actually thought about it and thought, why is this upsetting me, after you process the emotion? Because then it's like,
I had to Google it. I had to Google like what is being triggered. Duh, 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 duh. I read like loads of articles and things and I was like, oh my God, this is just something that hurts me that she's not going to even clock would hurt me.
Mm.
Like, it's not her fault. It's just that it's something that someone said to me that has made me, because I kept all my shit in check while it was going on, but it was once I'd got home, I was like a mess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you gonna?
We've chatted about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about it and I just said like, look, I got really upset because of this, and she was just like, no, I love you. I was just concerned. I just wanted to like, you know, let you know, whatever, whatever. And it was fine. It was fine, but it was more that I just know that is something that triggered me. And if it's a trigger for you, you're going to have an irrational reaction to it.
Mm, yeah.
It's got nothing to do with what the person is necessarily saying to you. It's that you are sitting there and having an irrational reaction to something that someone said to you.
Yeah.
But what in my head, my natural reaction was, they shouldn't be saying this to me, which wasn't quite right. So it was just that thing of like, I had to sit there and understand my trigger and actually make sense of it. And I think, I don't know if no one's actually explained it like that, but it is like that. A trigger is like, it is like a cut that can be sliced wide open. And then you're just going to be bleeding from it and having like mad reactions. Like, I need to go to A&E. Yeah. Oh my God, stop, you know. But if you know what it is, you're not going to have to react like that.
Yeah.
You know?
A few weeks ago, I had two conversations with people. And as I was talking to them, I noticed my heart rate was getting like faster. I was talking faster and I felt really hot. I was like sweating. And then I went and spoke to my friend who like I love so much and feel so calm around him. And immediately I was calm. And I remember thinking I wouldn't have noticed these little things ages ago. There's only stuff that I would pay attention to now. And I thought that was interesting. I'm thinking also about you saying about having a irrational reaction and thinking about what happened to me last week where someone was talking to me in a certain way that reminded me too much of a certain, like, it was like how is this almost the same situation that I had previously happening again? And I think even just being reminded of that, yeah, makes me upset. The way it like triggered me was I was just sad, just like so, like can't think about anything else, can't get it off my mind, just feeling generally low. And I did actually talk to this person about what they'd said and the content and the context and how it made me feel. And they denied trying to do anything bad, basically. But I'm thinking, was that, in my case, was that irrational? No, because you're like trying to keep yourself safe. But then with you, it's like, is your friend just trying to give you some advice to try and help you? I don't know.
Yeah, I think in my situation, like, this is someone who I have a lot of safe, I have a safe place in having safe conversations with. Like I can talk about anything, right? And not be judged. Mm-hmm. So I think I felt quite judged. And that was where it was like, oh, is this not a safe place? Are you not that friend of mine? Have I created this in my head? And no, it's just another thing. She just misread it and she thought I was upset or angry. And she thought I needed to check in with my emotions and figure out what that was about. And that wasn't the case. But I think with this scenario, obviously I know this scenario better than what you've described now on the podcast. So I think that when you are telling someone how you feel and when you've told them how you feel, like how she reassured me and she was like, I actually love you. Like I just wanted you to be okay. And I just wanted to check if you were okay. And that was my way of checking that you were okay. I think that's fine because I've kind of said to her, look, I went home and cried over it. And this is the effect it had on me.
He did say to me, oh, like, I don't want you to feel that way. Maybe don't talk to me then if that's what da-da-da. But it wasn't like...
Yeah, but that's okay. Maybe don't talk to me then. That's like, oh, I'm not going to take any responsibility for what's happened or my behavior in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he still didn't say what he did. Yeah.
It's immature. It's fucking ridiculous for someone who is a grown-up to say, oh, maybe don't talk to me then. Like, stop it. And the other thing that, like, I know that, you know, he said is banter. Use the word banter to excuse the behaviors and the things that were said to you. And these are two things. It's deflections, isn't it? You're not actually owning up to anything. You're not actually saying, oh, I won't do this in public or da-da-da or whatever. That is an excuse. Oh, it's banter, so therefore it's okay. No. It's not.
I feel like it's a certain breed of, let's say, it's a certain breed age of man who thinks that that's, you can still get away with that, like lad banter. Like, what? Shut up.
You know, like banter is so many different things to so many different people. Like, you know, when they're catcalling a woman and like they're making her feel uncomfortable and shit, they're going to say that's banter, innit?
This is, yeah.
Like, to a dude, that's banter. Have you like figured out any of your triggers? Like, have you come across like this kind of a thing?
I am aware of where people's eyes go when I speak. I think that really... or where their attention goes, because I have experienced people who don't listen to me. So if someone was to not pay attention, that fucking pisses me off.
But does it trigger you? Like, do you?
It does, because I shut down.
Like, do you be like,
I'll shut down then. Oh, I can't. Okay. Because it reminds me, and I'm just like, all right, well, I'm just not going to speak then.
All right, then you stop talking.
Yeah, I'm just like that. I'm done now. Thanks. Yeah, it does.
You're so funny.
I guess just being reminded, like certain behaviors, when you see it, similar type of vibe, it upsets me. And I also think, why am I in this same situation again? And I'll like beat myself up about things like that.
I feel like the beating up myself thing, like I do that a lot, but I don't know what that's about, mate.
Oh, don't know, man. Where's Chubbuddy G at? Chubbuddy G got fucking engaged.
Chubbuddy G got engaged. Chubbuddy G did like some proposal thing, like where he was pretending to do something, then he wasn't, and then he proposed. And I was like, oh, Chubbuddy G's in a relationship. Then I couldn't fit. I just, you know, like for a while, like, is it a stunt? Like, I don't know. Like, what is it real? Like, is, but it's just that thing. Everyone right now is getting engaged or married, aren't they?
Who's everyone? Just them two.
Maybe Courtney.
Courtney, Chubbuddy. I mean, Grindr posted that picture with his girlfriend that he sent me ages ago. How dare he have a girlfriend that's not me? To be fair, I wouldn't want to be with him because he wouldn't pay any attention to me.
Grindr?
He thinks he's the prize.
I think that's the character he plays, babe. I don't think that's him in real life.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Babes, I'm the prize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fine. So that, look, that's good. That's something that we've established. This is the want that you have for a future relationship.
That reminds me, Mark Groves, he's got a free relationship course, by the way, guys, and it ends in a couple, I think it ends in a couple of days. I need to do it before it ends.
Okay, how do you do it?
It's on his like markgroveskajabi.com, some bullshit.
Kajabi or hijabi? All right.
Kajabi.
All right.
Mate, I like how we go from being triggered to Chubbuddy G.
It's just where we could go like, with the same place.
So, Raj, what are you saying thank you next to?
I'm saying thank you next to being triggered and not realizing where that feeling is coming from. That ain't it. That shit ain't it. If you're being triggered, you need to figure out, like, what the fuck, where's that coming from? What is that about? Why am I sitting here crying?
What's that about, dude?
What is that about? Mm. Look inward and like, just be like, okay, that's what that's about. And that's fine. That's okay, you know? And that's something that I'm not cool with moving forward. But it's just that thing of, like, as well, like, not to get defensive about shit. Because if I'd got defensive about it, I don't know how that would have played out, that whole situation. That's it. It's all done, isn't it, Hardy? Our lessons are done. We've caught up a bit.
Can you believe it?
We're back in the swing of things. We're not going to be leaving anytime soon. Make sure you're telling your friends to subscribe. Make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're sharing this episode with someone who needs to understand their triggers.
Somebody who is waiting for the right time.
Divine timing, divine feminine energy.
I'm feminine.
Someone who is wondering what a cacao ceremony is all about.
Someone who is attached to their cuddly toys from age two.
Someone who's attached to their crystals.
What are you attached to?
Probably my rabbit, my bunny rabbit. I love her. I like looking at her and stuff. I like playing with her, giving her cuddles. Don't know, what are you attached to?
If there was a situation where I needed to escape really fast,
yeah,
obviously laptop, phone, the most expensive,
right,
like my brother bought me a salt lamp, like that's heavy though, so I couldn't run with it, but you know, just nice, like things I got, like that was nice. Mum's got my, like there's things, she got me some plants, like I would.
So if there was an emergency, you'd run with the salt lamp, the laptop, the phone, the plants.
I can't save all the plants though, can I?
Yeah, I think if there was an emergency, I'd just get Blue and Chip, pick her up, run out. I'll take my phone, obviously. I'll leave the laptop, it's fine, it's all backed up anyway, I guess.
Everything's obviously, yeah, that's the thing as well, even with that, it's just like, it's, you get it, who cares? You know, when I've been going on these breaks and stuff, I don't do any work or open my laptop and stuff, and I'll take like a bag of stuff, and that's what I'll get used to, just like the t-shirt and the pants or whatever, and whatever trousers I've took with me or whatever. I don't care about my other things. I'm just like, well, you just forget. Because you're not using it every day, so why would I care?
Exactly. Exacte mundo. Why would you care? Hey,
Please do email us or leave us a voice note like Caroline did. Because then we can chat. We can chat, dog.
Caroline, give us an update. Give us an update on what's been going on. Like, we need a little bit more on that story, right?
So you can email us. We are hithankyounextpodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on socials. We are at Thank You Next Pod on Insta, TikTok, and Twitter.
If you liked what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe or follow on Acast, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to give us a review so other people can find us.
And they can hear about like crystals.
Listen, we haven't even talked about this. It's spooky season right now. I've been on two ghost tours already.
Save it for next week.
I did a ghost tour in Brighton. I did a ghost tour in London. No, but I'm wearing orange today because I'm dressed like a pumpkin. This is meant to be my spooky season outfit number one for the podcast.
I am indifferent to seasons and spooky seasons. I hate horror and Halloween, it's not a vibe.
Oh my god, there's a new Scream movie coming out. There's so much shit going on. It's a great time. You is technically spooky season viewing because he's a spooky guy, right?
Yeah, but I would never watch it alone.
You don't watch You Alone?
No.
Oh, wow.
I did watch the last season alone, and then I noticed my mental health after I finished watching it alone.
For anyone who is into spooky stuff, what did I watch on Netflix that was so, so good?
Sabrina.
Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass on Netflix is absolutely fucking sick. And you know what? There's so much drama. There's so much monologuing. But if you keep going for like 2-3 episodes, there's some spooky shit going on in there. And there's really good commentary about religion on that. Actually, we're going to have to talk about that in another episode. It's fucking amazing.
Is it scary?
It is scary. It's about vampires.
Can't watch it, mate. Sorry.
It is scary, but it's very, very smart what they're saying about people who are like overtly way too much religious. You just can't trust them. I agree. You know when people judge me about my spiritual stuff? You know when people judge me about it? I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, you go here and you worship this thing that someone told you to worship. So
you find your own way, man. You find your own way.
So you can't just judge everyone else. So we'll be back next week with more shit. We want to say thank you next to. Make sure you let us know what you want to say thank you next to. I am going to be planning my Halloween sleepover, which I invited Hardeep to, and she said no.
Wait, I thought I left it open, but actually you're right. No, because it's going to be creepy, so I'm not doing it.
It's not going to be creepy.
You're going to tell like weird stories and watch weird shit.
We're going to watch one scary movie. Yeah. Nope. We're going to eat food. We're going to share ghost stories. Oh my God, what?
If it was just like Halloween themed and you were like laughing and joking about ponies, then yeah.
We will be laughing and joking about ponies.
Yeah, I can't be there and you're like, no, telling ghost stories, no.
Oh my God.
How can you sleep at night?
Really peacefully.
Nah, I'm mad. All right.
No, I do get scared. Like sometimes if I see a shadow, I'm like, oh my
well,
God,
yeah, same. I get scared of my own shadow quite a lot of the time. But anyway, we're moving on.
But Hardeep, that's what they call living on the edge. Living on the edge.
You know what they call living on the edge? Me keeping my wee in.
Right. I think, is that you saying that you need to go and pee right now?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We're going to let you go. I won't carry on this conversation then. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, but
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.